The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, but no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and is what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows from where it chooses and from where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of our Lord.
Daylight savings. So happy it's here. The clock that I was too lazy to change in my bedroom is now right. I have a daylight savings story from my childhood. One of those. I'm at that age now, hair color and everything to match, you know, telling old stories. I didn't mean to have this hair color this morning. I actually went out and bought a rainbow wig, and I had a sign out in my car that said John 3:16, and I had every intention to out from there. And when Betty was doing that lesson, our God, John 3:16 lesson, and do that, and you know, she's always like really like live and let live, and oh, we'll just all find our way. This morning, the Reverend Mother Kim was present, and she said, "You will not do that." So that was that. So there that rainbow wig sits like a little gay Shih Tzu out in my car. I'm hoping nobody busts my windshield, you know, to try to rescue it. If they did, it would be on my sister and my cousin's Facebook of how cruel people are to dogs and cars. But so here's my real story. So when I was growing up, I had one of my best friends, Jimmy. His grandma was this matron from, you know, Wyoming, okay? Very, very wealthy family. In fact, so wealthy, Jimmy's graduation present from his grandma Ida was, she took him to England. This is high school graduation. She took him to England on the QE2.
Okay, so, you know, I got a card with $5 in it. So, and so she was very like Wyoming, but she could also be, you know, like totally decked out in, you know, in diamonds and all that kind of stuff. And she did this cool thing. She would tat. But she was kind of like, who knows what tatting is? Okay, tatting is, you know, so when I'm a kid, I go, wow, that's a little tiny crochet needle. She goes, this is tatting, making lace, okay? So one time she was out, because she came out during the wintertime from Wyoming, and she was out, and it was daylight savings time, and I remember Grandma Ida saying, daylight savings time, Roosevelt did this, the man thought he was God, and he could even change time. This was the mid-60s when Roosevelt appeared on a six-cent stamp. Ida would not use six-cent stamps. She used 2 3-cent stamps because she said, I'd feel like I was kissing that man's behind. Now, okay, these are the kind of stories that stick with children, so, you know. Well, I need to beg your indulgence this morning. I'm just going to cut to the chase. I'm just going to get to the point of my sermon today. You are a miracle. Even on days, especially days, when you feel that you have nothing miraculous about you, I can assure you, you are a miracle. And right now, you could turn to your neighbor, and you could look at them, and in your heart you could say, if not out loud, you could say, you are a miracle. You are a wonder. And now we can widen that circle. We can step outside the walls, as it were, and we can imagine all the folks on the street, and the folks that are still in bed, and the folks that are that are at brunch, or the folks that are in other churches, or in hospitals, or in jails, and in all sorts and conditions of places, and we could say to them, you are a miracle. You are a wonder. Every stranger whose backstory we will never know and whose shoes we will never walk in, we can nonetheless say to that person, you are a miracle. Okay, we can do that. We're here at St. Peter's. We're used to this kind of like forward thinking. And but let's make it a little more difficult now. Let's make it a little more difficult, okay? It's easy to say to us, we're the good guys. You are a miracle. But now let's move on. Let's get a little crazy, even though I don't have the wig on. Let's think of our enemies. And let's think of our persecutors. Let's even go so far as to think of our abusers and say, you are a miracle. You are a wonder. Maybe at this point you're like, okay, you quit preaching and started meddling. So if you're still with me, then let's take our miraculous consciousness here and let's move beyond our species now. And we'll do this one easy too, just like before we started with ourselves and then our friends. Let's just start with our pets. Thinking of your pet. I'm thinking of my little Shih Tzu out in the car. You are a miracle. You are a wonder. And you can think of all the birds and the deer, the fish, and all manner of creeping things, coyotes, and you can say, you are a miracle. You are a wonder. And then the circle can get a little bigger still. And you can go to the plants. And you can go to the trees. And you can go to the garden that you're dreaming about right now. And you can say, you are a miracle. You are a wonder. But we're not done. Now think about the soil and the rocks and the mountains and all the atoms and all the worlds that just exist out there that we just heard five new planets were discovered, like, what was that, 48 million light years away. You are a miracle. You are a wonder. Where does all this come from? Well, our affirmation comes from the fact that this morning we heard the gospel. For God so loved the world. Let me tell you what that word world is in Greek. Cosmos. For God so loved the cosmos, the universe. I know sometimes we hear John 3:16 and we immediately retreat into ourselves, but the verse begins like this: for God so loved everything. Everything and anything you can think of, God loves it. God loves all those things, seen and unseen, as the Nicene Creed would tell us. God loves everything. God's reference, relationship, and responsibility to the universe is love. And that love is miraculous. And so we can affirm from the love of God, you are a miracle. You are a wonder. For God so loved the world, even when aspects of that world do not love God in return. And this is a miracle, that God does not live in resentment. God does not exist in anger or hatred, but for God so loved the world. And we are called to share that love. That's the meaning of spiritual birth in today's gospel. Persons becoming persons who love God as God loves. Love as our reference. Our relationship, our responsibility to the world around us, the world that God loves. And so that's why Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you must learn that you are a miracle. Nicodemus, you must learn that you are a wonder. Nicodemus, you must start to see the expanding spiral arms of the universe of love, and that all life is a miracle and a wonder. Unless someone is born anew, they cannot see the reign of God manifest in absolute and unconditional love. For God so loved the world is a miracle, and spiritual birth is a miracle. As Jesus says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that is a constant process. As the Nicene Creed says of Jesus, which is true of all spiritual birth, that Jesus is eternally begotten of the Father, and what that tells us is that our spiritual birth is an eternal begetting. It's not a one-time fits-all experience. This is why Jesus in our gospel today says, "Don't be surprised when I tell you, you must be born anew." Those words of Jesus are true every time we hear them. Every time we read this gospel passage and we hear our Lord say, "You must be born anew," it means right now, I must be born anew. The scripture is eternally true. Spiritual birth is not something on a bucket list which we can accomplish and then just move on to the next task. The Spirit is like the wind. She moves in unknown ways and gives birth as she will. And that is a miracle. Spiritual birth is sharing the love of God, sharing the love that God has for the world. Spiritual birth transforms people into persons who recognize and live into God's reference, God's relationship, and God's responsibility for the world in love. "For God so loved the world" becomes our mantra, our constant little prayer, which we have to say 10,000 times a day, "For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world," if we must, so that we're able to meet our every situation in life as a miracle and a wonder. We watch the news. We read our social network feeds. We think of the multitude of experiences of our lives, and we are tempted to doubt and disbelieve that God loves the world. We are tempted to doubt and disbelieve that we are a miracle, that our neighbors are miracles, that strangers are miracles. But the gospel promises the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome the light. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world, we may even say to the darkness, "You are a miracle. You are a wonder." As irrational and simplistic as it may sound, in our gospel, "For God so loved the world, you are a miracle. You are a wonder." We are daily born anew every time we proclaim this gospel. "For God so loved the world," we make this affirmation, "You are a miracle, you are a wonder." We are born anew in every transaction of our lives when we recognize in our ministry that this situation with whomever we meet is a situation of love, because "For God so loved the world," even this situation. We are born anew as we take action that affirms the miraculous nature of life. I know we're challenged constantly in our culture to deny that God loves the world, that we are asked moment by moment to compartmentalize the world into neat little boxes. God goes in this box, but God is not in this box. We may speak the gospel to this situation, but the gospel is irrelevant to this situation. God is with some, but God is not with others. Some have, some do not have. And that's just the way it is. Get real. And to our compartmentalizations, the gospel responds, For God so loved the cosmos. For God so loved everything that there are no boxes. There are no compartments. We are the voices who say you can't treat the miracles of God in this way. For God so loved the world. The light shines in the darkness, my dear friends, and the darkness does not overcome it. And why is that? For God so loved the world. You are born anew. You are a miracle. You are a wonder. May God give us grace of new birth to be light in darkness and to spread the word, for God so loved the world. Amen.